and his Arya prayer. The song asked a question. The question was, do you know my friend, Jesus? I think that's an important question. I think it's important to have more than just a hearsay experience about the Lord. Well, I heard of a man. I've heard of Jesus. It's very important for you and I to have an experience that we know Jesus. It'll help secure us in the hardest times that we face. It'll give us something solid to hang on to. Over in Philippians, there's a familiar scripture. I think it's one of the most powerful part of Paul's writings. In the third chapter of Philippians, Paul was giving his testimony. He was telling us that he knew Christ. He had a relationship with Christ. And so he was telling his experience. In the fourth verse, it says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now the apostle here is beginning to tell us, I think it's a very powerful writing of a man that the Lord meant something to. I say it this way, that meant everything to. He had found Christ one day and that changed his life so thoroughly that every element of it changed. It's a remarkable thing to me that a man can change so thoroughly as he did. He was raised. Think of that. Think of the background that was so steep, so deeply ingrained in this man's life. He was saying of the flesh, if any man has something that of the flesh that he thinks that he could boast about that he might trust in, I've got more than you do, he was saying. Of these things, I had it all. I was learned. I had the right breeding. I was a Jew. I had everything that could have elevated me in the flesh that I could have really thought I was something, and maybe I did. But he was saying that now I met Christ. And all of that, all of it, no matter what it was, all of it, I give it away. To me, those I counted lost for Christ. The genealogy. I was a Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin. I had something to boast about. This is heritage here. I have something that I could exalt here. But I'm throwing that away. I imagine that he was outcasted in his family. He was outcasted. I threw it away. Now the lineage of Benjamin, it doesn't mean what it used to. I've not got the same outlook on things. I'm willing to cast that off. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Lord, help you and I today that we take this thing more seriously than we've ever taken it before. Would you dare to look back a little bit and think of those that paid a paid a terrible price to be named a part of Christ. Paul paid the ultimate price. He had to give up. Now, I don't know everyone here. I don't know what you've given up. I don't know what you've done, but the challenge I want to have to us tonight is do we really know Christ? Have we really given up ourselves to the point that we might know Christ? Jesus came, I want to put it this way, Jesus came from heaven. He was the Son of God. He was from the beginning. When God said, let us, I think the us was Jesus. Let us make man in our own image. I think the Lord was from the beginning. I think the Lord was in the heavenly. I think He was in the eternal. And there come a time that He came down. He came down into the form of a man. And He gave up the heavenly. He gave up the place in heaven that was rightfully His. He said to His disciples in one place, He said, if you could but see, if you could just but see where it was that I came from, if you could just vision into it where I came from, He came from the heavenly, He came and gave you and I an opportunity. Now He gave. He sacrificed. Along comes the Apostle Paul and said, that I have come that I might win Him. I've given everything up. That I might know Him. The only way that I can really know the Lord Jesus is to give myself up to do it. The Lord said of Himself, He said, unless a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. He was speaking of the life that He was about to give. Unless this old flesh falls off, unless it falls to the ground and dies, it'll abide alone. But if it falls, humility, in suffering, in humility it falls. See, the first process is always falling. You don't stay up in a high place. The kernel's got to fall first. Then it falls to the lowest possible place that it can. It meets its point that it can go no lower. And there it begins to die. And in that place, when after it's died and cried, then out of it comes forth much. Jesus did that. Paul got a hold of it, I believe, in this and the understandings that he had that for him to know Christ, he was going to have to give up himself to do it. Oh, he said, I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. How? That I may know Him. The song said, do you know my friend, Jesus? Do you really know Him? We've all heard of Him. We all know that He died on the cross. We all know the story. Probably all of us could say that's of any age could tell the story. But have I come to the place in my life that I've given myself that I might know Him? See, you think of it this way. I've known people in my life that had a certain character. And then somebody would come up, maybe, I have a few in my mind that I don't really mean to get into, but somebody might come up and say, they got in trouble again. And I'm thinking, I'm not surprised. It doesn't surprise me. I know them. They're on the verge of trouble all the time. So I'm not surprised by that character. I know them. Do we really know Christ? The character of Christ? Do we recognize the character of Christ? The only way to really know that character is to die to ourselves to know it. This is what the apostle was talking about when he said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. See, what was it over there in Acts somewhere? I believe they said some of the disciples. It said after the Holy Ghost that came on, they had went and testified or give witness to the resurrection of Christ. Well, they wasn't there when he came out of the tomb. How did they give a witness to it? Because it witnessed in them. Christ is alive yet. But once they had died, once the Lord had begun to work in their life, then they could testify, I know Christ. Paul was able, he had an experience one day on the road that changed his life forever. He was never the same man after that. And he wanted to know Christ. And the further he went, the more he wanted to know. The more that he was willing to die out to this thing we call self. The more he was willing to die out to old Paul. Paul's got to go. If I keep Paul, I can never know Christ. Paul was a certain man. He was a Pharisee. It was old Saul. But he had a certain identity. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He had learned under the highest leaders. He was somebody important. But he had to die if he was going to know Christ. That had to be given up to know the power of the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection that worked in Christ. He said that if I fall and die, if I die, I abide alone. But if I fall and die, I bear much fruit. Much will come out of it. The apostle recognized this too, that I might know him. That out of you and I, the same thing can flow. Blessings, life can flow from you and I, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship. Now, I don't know, this could get a little tough, but listen to the words of the apostle. These are strong words, that I might know the fellowship of his suffering. Well, why do you want to know that? Don't you want to know the Lord? Well, you know, a big part of the Lord's life was involved in suffering. Sure. The suffering, the blessings of his Father rested upon him because of the sufferings that he endured. Did he have to? No. He didn't have to. He willingly followed a certain path, and when the apostle Paul comes in behind him and looked and said, this wasn't a man given to the pleasures, fleshly pleasures of life. He wasn't a man given to comfort. He wasn't a man given to pampering of the flesh. He suffered in the flesh, and I want to know him. See, I want to know him. So I'm going to follow along that I might know him. That I might know what he does. Now, I don't know how many folks in here has ever been in a coal mines. Probably not very many of you, if any. But I used to work in the coal mines. And I used to imagine about the coal miners. I used to say, they're overpaid. They make pretty good money. But after I got in there and was with them a little while, I started saying, these men are underpaid. They don't get enough to be in here doing what they're doing. It was after I suffered it, after I learned what it was about, to crawl in the middle of the winter, then piping air into this little place, and it's going in there at one particular place, 120 CFMs, that's cubic foot per minute, was going in there. It's 10 degrees to zero outside. This wind is flying, I don't know what the wind chill would be, but it's wet, it's cold, it's damp. It's a nasty, dirty place to work, and we're in there crawling around in water halfway up on our thighs, crawling through this wind and nasty stuff. They were underpaid. Once I got in there and fellowshipped their suffering, I begin to understand them. I begin to understand what a real man was. Somebody that would go in there and go in, I got a family to support day after day. They would show up there at the coal mines. They would suit up, put their hard hats on. They would get ready. I got a family to support, and they go in there. I can't say it was a place that they didn't murmur and complain, because there was complaining and stuff going on a lot. They weren't all spiritual people for sure, but they all had a job to do, and they went in there in nasty conditions, and they done a job. And I could have never have understood that until I fellowshipped them in that place that they was in. Felt what they was in. Long nights sometimes. So at first, sometimes quitting time was at 7, but they was 3 miles underground and the ride didn't work. So you either crawl out on your hands and knees for 3 miles with coal dust under your knee pads and irritating your knee pads or you waited for 2 hours to get out and you're cold and the ice is freezing on your pants leg, and I wouldn't understood. I'd never known until I fellowshipped that. Once I fellowshipped them, my concept was altogether different. These guys, they made $13, $15 an hour. It wasn't enough. I'd say, listen, these guys are underpaid. If you think they're, go spend some time with them. And you'll find out that this is a rough, grueling job. I'm not sure the Lord meant us to be, maybe praying on your knees, but I don't think we was meant to crawl like that. But you know, it's with the Lord, Paul said, that I might know Him. That I might really know the Lord. What it means to be a Christian, I think, in our modern United States, that we have overlooked some essentials. I think the very nature of the ease around us, I thank the Lord for the convenient things. But Lord, help us to make sure that you and I know Christ. We can. We can still. God's grace is sufficient in every cause. I say the Lord has grace for prosperity. You and I can be spiritual. We can know the Lord. We're going to have to seek to know the Lord to know Him. The apostle says that I may fellowship His suffering, a want, a desire. I'm not forced into this. It don't seem like the apostle was pushed into it. His arm was twisted, but he of his free will said that I might fellowship his suffering. I want to know what it's like to so love souls of men, so have such a passion in my soul that I would actually give in pain and suffering to someone else. What a calling. What a place in God. And the apostle was realizing this, but he realized that the only way that he could get to it was the elimination of himself. Oh, that I might fellowship his suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. That's what, when he told that rich young ruler, one thing thou lackest, go and sell all that you have. Give up your identity. And go get your cross. Pick up your cross and become conformable to my death. You want to know the eternal life that you're wanting? Follow me. Follow me into the places that I went. Where did the Lord go? He went into humility, didn't he? Then why do we rise up so quickly? Why do we stand so tall and so proud? And still name the name of Christ when he humbled himself and become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Take up your cross and follow me daily. An instrument of death and dying and sorrow. That's what the cross is. It's a fellowship of his suffering. Every time someone comes against us, and we stand for truth. When every time someone comes against us and we hold our integrity with God and with the grace of God, we endure that and love Him the same. We suffer a little bit of Christ. So Lord, help us tonight. The song said, do you know my friend, Jesus? Have you made it possible that you might know Him? You say, I've heard of him. Well, I've heard of coal miners too. But I've experienced it. And the only way that you and I are going to know Christ is to experience Christ. Other than that, it's going to be a hearsay. And what's going to happen is that the things of life is going to come. What did he say in the 7th of Matthew? He told the story of, didn't he, of a man, a wise man, that built his house upon a rock. This man dug down through the sand, and he built upon a rock. And the storms came, the winds blew, the waters rose, but the house stood. And he said it was this would be likened unto a person that hears my word, that does it, that builds on that. The other man was unwise, and he just built it in the shifting sand. And the shifting sand, and along come the storms. Do you notice that they come to everyone? For sure they did. Because the storms have no vision. They don't have no view. They just come. Storms come, and when they roll over it all. So the storms hit the wise and the unwise. But the unwise fell. It's because he never knew. He didn't really know. He hadn't really built upon the Lord Jesus Christ to know Him and to fellowship His suffering and to be a part of what the Lord would have us to. Over in Luke, the 21st chapter, in the 25th verse it says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations and perplexities, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Well, we heard a little bit, and I know you heard it. We heard a little bit about what the end times may be and how things are happening around about us. And I know we've heard those kind of things for a long, long time. It was true nonetheless. In every life, these things come. Men's hearts begin failing them for the things that's coming upon the earth. Now, I'm no prophet to say what's going to happen and what's not. But I was amazed that at 9-1-1, that incident rocked our country the way it did. At home, West Virginia. We call it the sticks. It's way back. And yet, people started doing crazy things. Totally crazy things. There's a little town not far from us, a fraction of the size of Shawnee. It's not big. And there was an airplane. This same day, there was an airplane flying around. A little airplane was flying around Elkins, West Virginia. And people were panicked over that plane. I thought, Washington, D.C., New York City, and Elkins, West Virginia. It don't even make sense. It didn't make sense to anyone. Close down the New River Gorge Bridge looking for explosives at the bridge. People were panicked. Fear was in every around us. That don't even make sense. There's thousands upon thousands of big bridges with all kind of traffic, and over in West Virginia looking at a bridge. It don't even make sense. But people's hearts were failing them. Their fear was coming upon them. Do you know that it rocked our economy? It rocked it. People want to draw in. I'm not going to spend it because I don't want to be caught without its shock. You know, that's pretty feeble, folks. That's a pretty feeble system to be into when something like that can happen and starts to rock the whole thing. What would happen if something really, really major happened? Now, Lord, help us. I want to tell you what it ought to happen to those that have a relationship with Christ. I know what I said. There was compassion and there was pity, but there also was an assurance in my heart of Jesus Christ. Lord made it all, and He's still ruling over it. As far as I know, He hasn't given up any of His lordship yet. And He hasn't took His feet off of His footstool yet. God still rules in the affairs of men. And when you and I have an established relationship with Christ, I know Him. I know that what shakes us on earth is not going to shake me out of His hands. He is able to keep that which I committed to Him. thank the Lord for it. I don't have to be rocked in my soul when the turbulent time come around me. But this scripture says men's hearts going to be failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Listen, right there at home, 911, they shut down the gas stations. I don't know. Why? Altogether, I thought maybe the guy that owned it said what gas he had there, he was going to keep it. That gas was going to be, I have no idea, but it wouldn't, much more would have happened. You wouldn't have traveled anywhere around there because you couldn't have got the means to, unless you walked. You know, that's pretty feeble, isn't it? Of a society. Lord help us to have a relationship with Christ. That no matter what shakes, that we're still solidly set in the Lord. That I haven't been shaken. I know those are natural things. But the heavens shaking. Let's go to Ezekiel, 14th chapter, 14 and 12. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls. By their righteousness, saith the Lord God. So, what was they able to do? These were three notable men, weren't they?
Sure.
Noah was quite a notable man, wasn't he? But though they three be in it, they'll deliver but their own experience will be the only thing that's going to do anything is what they have for themselves. Noah, in his day, was a righteous man. But Noah didn't stop the waters from flooding the earth, though he was in it. God made a provision for Noah. God protected Noah. God kept Noah. But he did not keep those that are around him. Noah had no ability to spare the world. He only had enough for himself. And those that were in the ark were spared because of it. He was notable. Daniel. Daniel was a very inspiring man. He was faithful. But Noah didn't keep the kingdom or the children of Israel from being taken in captivity. The thing happened. Daniel was right in it. Noah was right in the middle of the flood. Daniel was right in the middle of the captivity. He was carried away. He was a righteous man. But he only delivered. He could only deliver himself in the middle of all of that. He had grace. God prospered him. He became a leader there. He was blessed down there. Right in the middle of that old wicked Babylonian Empire, Daniel was a mighty man. But he only had enough for himself. God blessed him for what he had. But he couldn't keep it from happening to everybody else. We need an experience with the Lord for ourselves. It don't matter how big the movement gets. It won't save you. It don't matter how full we get the chapel. It won't save us. We need the experience. The experience of knowing Him. Knowing Him and testify, being able to testify. I know Him just the way that Paul did. He could do it with power and authority because he had something to do it with. The Lord met me on my way to Damascus. A shining bright light, He told it. The Bible says that I'm thinking of a couple times anyway that He began to tell His experience. But the Bible don't tell all. I wonder how many times Paul preached that message that I was on the road to Damascus. I'd be willing to say that he told it everywhere he went because it was the power of his experience. I know Christ. See? I've given myself to this. I've given up myself. But when he began, if you're following him, the life of Paul, you'll find a remarkable resemblance to the life of Christ.
Amen.
In his life. Because he began to give of himself. You want to go real deep in it, study out how the apostle ended up there talking to the Jews in Jerusalem. He was called to the Gentiles. But he put himself in jeopardy and went there. And you'll find a real resemblance of what Christ done when he hung on that cross and he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? You'll find a real resemblance in what Christ done when he died and took the sins of the people upon him. Paul realized this experience by following Christ in everywhere he went. You remember when the scribe came and said, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And the Lord spoke to him. It's a very small part in the scriptures. Jesus said, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. And that's all the scripture says. What happened to the scribe? I don't know, but I'd be willing to say the scribe said, oh, I just meant, you going over to Galilee again, I'll go with you. I didn't mean I'm going to follow you in to your self-denial. I didn't know I was going to follow you in to your humility. I didn't know I was going to follow you in to your nothingness. I thought I was going to follow you in to your kingdom. I thought I was going to follow you into your reigning. I thought it was going to be something with you. But the Bible gives us something. If you want to be great, there's a prescription. You want to be great? Oh, we have a desire to be great. We all can be great. You know how you'd be great?
Amen.
You'd be nothing. The lower you get, the greater you become in the kingdom. This was the way the Lord did it. And here comes the apostle along. And then he's calling. He said, there wasn't one place in the scripture. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going into the life of Christ, suffering and denying. Follow me right into that too. Give yourself to this. Know Christ. It's an experience worth having.
Amen.
It'll work. It'll work everywhere you go. There'll be a place of finding grace when you don't think you can have it. You'll look at people differently than you've ever looked at them before. That one that you can't stand will all of a sudden be so valuable for God. You'll see something completely different once you suffer the way of Christ, and you'll see the whole thing for the joy that was set before him. He suffered for the joy. You know what that joy was? It was him looking down through the ages and seeing everyone that would, will come, can come, is saved. Christ looked down, and for the joy that was set before him, all those, the precious bride that I'm buying. He paid a great price for that. This scripture says, when I cut the bread off, though these men were in it, they delivered but their own souls. Then it says, if I cause a noisome beast to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon the land, and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into the land, and the poor out of my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Oh, Job, who's faithful. But he lost his family. I wonder how faithful they were. I don't know. But Job would be able to deliver but his own soul. Not his children ain't going to get it. You and I can't bank on the past life of our parents, grandparents, Church of God. God will always have a church. Don't mean we'll always be in it. We're going to have to follow along to be in it. We're going to have to walk the straight and narrow. We're going to have to do what the Lord has commanded us to do with a full heart, not cutting the corners. Too easy, too lightly. It's everywhere. The indifference of spiritual things is just rampant. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. We need an experience of Christ in our life. To know Him and to fellowship His sufferings. To know that I have a place of security in Him. I know Him. See, I got to have something, you got to have something that can't be taken away from you by the events of life. What will it take to shake our foundations? The Lord, I want to go through the whole scriptures, it takes too much time, but the Bible speaks of a shaking that the Lord does. That He shakes, that those that can be shaken will be shaken, but those that can't be shaken shall remain. He shakes and shakes, and notice that up home on my apple tree, many times, it'll just be loaded and the wind will come and it'll shake these old apples off, and there'll be some that's left. Those are going to make something. Those who are going to amount to something, do I know Him? Do you remember the place in the scriptures of the blind man? Jesus come along and healed the blind man. And so there were some that didn't like it. So they went to his parents and asked them, and they just said, "He's of age. Go ask him." So they went to him, and their words were something like this: "We know this man is a sinner. So, you ought to give God the credit for this." And this man said, "I know not about those things, but this I know. I was blind, and now I see." Now you can do a lot of things. You can argue with him. You can sit down and debate. You could debate where it came from, what it was all about, all that. But the one thing you could argue with his neighbors about whether he was really blind or not. You could argue about, as the story went, a lot of arguments could have made of whether a healing really happened or a healing didn't happen. But one person you'd never convince was the blind man. The blind man knew he was blind, and he knows he sees, and you can't take that from the blind man. We've got to have an experience like that. You can argue with me, you can say all this about being saved or not being saved or living right or where you can live free from sin or you can't. You make all those arguments, but the only thing you argue is for yourself, because I know what happened to me. I know that the Lord walks with me, deals with me. I've got a relationship with the Lord. I've suffered with Christ. I know what it's like, and you can't take it from me. See, we need something sure. This time is a perilous time. Things are going to push us. And I'm willing to say this in the fear of God. I don't know about this flesh and what it's going to do, but I see it spiritually. It's pushing. It's pressing us spiritually to hold the faith. Amen. It's going to be worse and worse as it goes. Are we going to be able to hold and maintain the faith in Christ? There is one way to do it. And that is to have a working relationship with the Lord Jesus. One that will not shake. No matter what comes, it will not shake our faith. I know He lives because He lives in me. Was that old song that says, "I know that it happened. I know that it happened. I know that it happened. Can't take that from me." Over in Psalms, the 91st Psalm, this is another one of my favorite scriptures. 91st Psalm. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Thank the Lord for a place. A secret place. This place is the same. You can look into it, and there's a place there that the Lord said that in a secret place, talk about in a closet. He said, I'll meet you in a secret place. There's a secret place. He that dwelleth in that secret place. You know what that secret place is? It's a place where you and Jesus are in communion that nothing can God penetrate into that place. There is a place. It says there is a secret place of the Most High. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Know what it seems to me like? It seems like the Lord started off and said that there's a secret place, and now I'm gonna tell you what it's like there. This is what it's like. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now this is all in a secret place. This is in a secret. This is the high tower that we run into. This is the rock of our salvation. This is the cleft in the rock. This is the place where you and I have a relationship with Christ that cannot be shaken. We don't fear there. There's security there. He says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh unto thee, not in the secret place. You get out of the secret place, anything can happen. But in the secret place, it will not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes. I always like this scripture. Only with my eyes. I can see the turbulence. Right after 9-1-1 last year, we had already scheduled in Pampa, Texas, a tent meeting. It was a good time for a tent meeting. People were talking about God. People were thinking about God. I can look and I can see the turbulence around. I can see the fear on people. I can see all that. But this says only with the eyes. I can see it. I can see the world's, the effects of sin. I can see the devil taking advantage of the youth of our land. I can see it corrupting the morals of our country. But only with my eyes I behold it. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. I can see what they're gaining. I can see what's happening. But only with my eyes. It doesn't come into my life. It don't come into my secret place. See, there's a scripture that says that how does it say that? There is a place that the vulture's eye cannot see. There's a place that even the enemy, I'm telling you, there's a place in Christ that the enemy has to stay outside the door. Amen. He can't come into this relationship of Christ. Oh, he can torment the flesh. He can cause all the torment around, but he can't enter this place of rest. It's in a personal relationship with the Lord. That's the little message for tonight. I would desire that we would all seriously consider the question, do you know my friend? And say, I've heard of him. I want to challenge us tonight to start an active pursuit, as the apostle did, of knowing Christ. And the example of the coal mine, you might have one your own. I can think of some others, but that idea of getting in there where he was at is where you'll know him at. It's where the blessings of his eternity, eternal things, eternal life is going to abound and be rich to us.
So I challenge with that thought tonight. You pray for me.